That further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Yeah, on the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Dennis Johnson, chaplain for the House of Representatives.
Good morning. Many of us have returned from major religious festivals. For the Christians, we just went through Holy Week and Easter. For the Jewish people, many have observed Passover. Every religion seems to provide for its faithful a time of reflection, self-examination, and repentance. I hope you all took advantage of that opportunity to repent. When we hear that word repent, we sometimes have a negative connotation. It seems like something horrendous. We've been treated to a parade of celebrities, newsmakers, politicians, religious leaders, sadly, come before microphones to confess their sins, to repent. It's difficult to watch. It's painful to experience their pain. But true repentance for sins large and small, public or private, true repentance is ultimately a joyous experience. It's like a homecoming. It's a returning to one's true self. It's an opportunity to reclaim that which is our deepest and truest values. It's a turning toward that which enriches life rather than impoverishes. And it's a commitment to change one's life to better reflect our faith. Our faith gives us opportunities for a new start, a clean slate. The practice of daily repentance and making amends both humbles and invigorates us. So today I invite you to pray with David, who after his own shameful and very public confession composed these words: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Amen.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhug, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. First order of business is executive and official communications. They're printed on today's agenda and will be referred as indicated. Next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted: House file numbers 3157 and 3151, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The next order of business is introduction and first reading of first reading of House bills. Next order of business, first reading of House bills. They'll be referred to the committees as indicated. First reading of House bills. Next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is motions and resolutions. There's a correction on the rest motion. It's we strike the word stricken and add added. Without objection, take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There's a resolution printed on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolution will be sent to the Rules Committee. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, the plan today would be to just take up four bills on the general orders calendar, and you should look for LJP-2, which is different than the one that just has my initials. So LJP-2 is the one we'll do. It has a Sparks bill on it instead of two Murphy bills. It has a Sparks bill as the last one. And the plan for the rest of the week, so that's all we'll do today. No, we will not do the calendar today. We will not do the calendar tomorrow. We'll do the calendar on Monday for recorded votes. And tomorrow will be just move some paper. So tomorrow will be a very brief session. So, Mr. President, then on motions, I'd move that we take up the general orders. I move the Senate do now resolve itself into committee of the whole for purpose of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then I would designate the four bills on LJP-2. It's number 21, number 44, number 11, and number 58, and I would yield to Senator Olsen.
Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that House File 2634 be recommended to pass, and then I have a resolution before the bill.
Describe your bill to the body, Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, members, this is a file. It addresses water usage in the Mount Simon Hinckley Aquifer. And as I testified in committee, it seems like water is becoming our next oil. And this aquifer is below probably the southeastern corner of Minnesota. And it's a pretty pristine aquifer, and so the bill addresses usage of this water. It doesn't necessarily stop any projects or limit them, but there's three parts of the bill, and one of the big changes is that if you're going to use over 100, or you can get a permit for up to 100 million gallons of water a year from the DNR, but to get that permit, you have to demonstrate that there's no feasible or practical alternatives and that a water conservation plan is incorporated in the permit. Now, for ethanol industry or an ag industry that would use more than 100 million gallons of water, the next provision allows that to happen also if there's no feasible or practical alternative to use other water. There also has to be a water conservation plan, but there also has to be a water recycling plan. And a lot of ethanol plants are doing this now where it's called a zero liquid discharge. So they're reusing the water in their cooling process. So that basically kind of puts that into law that we look at this aquifer that we're drawing statewide about 25 billion gallons a year out of. And I think it's important that we move into the future that we're very careful about protecting this aquifer. So it's kind of a balance of being able to use it, but also keeping an eye on how much water we're pulling out of it. And then I would also move, Mr. Chair, that the amendment to House File 2634 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted March 29th, 2010, pursuant to Rule 45 be stricken. So I'd like to take the House language.
Yep, on the motion, all in favor? Oh, that are the. You better explain the differences.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The original bill on the Senate side did not have language addressing for use for ethanol facilities and agricultural processing plants that might use more than 100 million gallons. So we've put in language that they can get a permit for using more than that much water, but they also have to have a recycling plan that the commissioner of DNR would oversee that.
Discussion on the motion. All in favor? Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, this is more than a small change between the House and the Senate file. I would like to hear a little more discussion about why we should accept the House version of this bill and why the bill should not go to a conference committee and have some further discussion about this issue, because this is potentially a very large issue for rural Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, Senator Frederickson, I think that by allowing the up to 100 million gallons of water with a conservation plan, I think that's prudent. But I also believe that we don't want to curtail the ethanol industry as it's growing and also getting more efficient. When they first started producing ethanol, they used about 4 gallons of water to 1 gallon of ethanol, and now they're down to a little over 2 gallons of water per gallon of ethanol. So we didn't want to curtail that industry or any other agricultural industry, so that's why the House language looks at how do we address that. And so the way that we're addressing it is by requiring a recycling plan for any industry that uses over 100 million gallons of water a year. So I think it could be said that it's a significant change, but I think it's an appropriate change.
Senator Vandiver.
Mr. Chairman, will Senator Olsen yield?
He will yield.
Thank you. Senator Olsen, this says that it doesn't impact any municipality or any part of Washington or Anoka counties.
Mr. Chair and Senator Vandiver, this is for municipal water wells are exempt, so any water usage for domestic purposes are exempt. In the metropolitan, 7-county metropolitan area, currently you can't go into the Mount Simon Hinckley for other than domestic usage. That change was put on quite a few years ago, because a lot of buildings in downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul were using once through cooling water. Some buildings were pulling up to 2 million gallons a day out of the aquifer and then just discharging it into the river. So there's already been limitations on the Mount Simon in the metropolitan area.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Olsen, what about a private well, like someone in Forest Lake had to replace a well? Would this impact that?
Mr. Chair,
Olsen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Vandiver, I don't believe it would. If they have a permit currently, this would not affect them.
Well, Vandiver.
Mr. President, Senator Olsen, now, I know you described the differences between the House and Senate, but we have a staff report on what your bill did, but we don't on what the House did. And is this something we have to vote on right away? Or I would just like to spend a little time to find out exactly what the differences are.
Senator Olsen.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think, if anything, this has loosened the language, because it allows for a really heavy industrial user, such as an ethanol plant or an agricultural facility that uses a lot of water. It allows them to use actually more than 100 million gallons of water, but they do have to do an additional step, and that is a recycling plan. And like I mentioned earlier, a lot of ethanol plants have gone to zero liquid discharge, so they're already starting to recycle the water. So I don't know if it's Sabati's wish to go to a conference committee. I think it's I think I've described the changes fairly well.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with Senator Fredrickson that this appears to be a quite large change in the water appropriation that we use in Minnesota. And I wonder if we shouldn't have a little more discussion about this. I'm pulling up the language on my computer now so I can have a better understanding. But I tend to agree with Senator Fredrickson on this.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Olsen.
I would be happy to go to a conference committee.
And you should withdraw your motion.
I will withdraw my motion then.
Motion's been withdrawn. Does he need a... If the Senate language is... Or the House... Still before us. Senator Olsen.
Okay, so I had already said about recommending to pass. So the Senate language before us is different than the House language. The House addresses the really high volume usage. So the bill before us still says that you can use up to 100 million gallons of water, but you need to get that water conservation permit and then have a water conservation plan. So that's the bill before us, and I ask for your support.
Discussion, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I just want to remind you all that this is a dramatic change to our water usage in this state, and that we are directly affecting the development of not only ethanol, but just further development in renewables, manufacturing, any progressive innovation or technology that's out there is going to have to go through another step with the beloved PCA and the DNR, and it's already gotten to be quite onerous for a lot of these industries to deal with Minnesota, and they're starting to refuse to deal with Minnesota. And I just want to remind members that 7 golf courses in the metro area use more water than all the ethanol plants in the state. Now that is pretty dramatic. So even though they are going to different technologies, as Senator Olsen said, zero discharge, but we are discounting further technology coming down the road with cellulosic ethanol or renewable energy that perhaps they're even going to just skip a lot of this. But water is an integral part, and I think we are being very aggressive on this with this bill. And we're going to stymie any growth in this state at all.
Senator Corrine, Chaudhry, and then Jungbauer. Senator Corrine.
Mr. Chairman, would Senator Olsen yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olsen, what prompted this legislation to be carried? Would some department come forward with this idea? Or I guess I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from.
Mr. Chairman, this came because last year this body passed a personal property tax exemption for a power plant proposal in my district, and part of their proposal was the water that they were going to use for cooling their facility, and they were going to look at taking out up to 2 million gallons a day out of the Mount Simon Hinckley Aquifer for cooling water purposes only. And because we had a developer's agreement on there and working in the local communities with the township that it was to be located in and the Chisago County Board, they had changed their configuration of the plant and are now going to use 100% wastewater from a city wastewater treatment plant. So I think that was a good improvement, but that is what drove this because, as I said earlier, the Mount Simon Hinckley Aquifer is a pristine aquifer for our area, and it's at risk, as I mentioned, 25 billion gallons a year pulled out of it. So I think it's important that this bill, it doesn't stop development, it doesn't stop using the water, but it makes us take a second look at how we're going to use that water.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Well, I guess, you know, at a time when unemployment is the highest we've seen in decades, we should be trying to figure out ways to help businesses, not to pass more laws to really put more pressure on them. And I think, to me, this is my interpretation, that that's what that this bill does, Senator Olsen, and I certainly am not going to be supporting this bill at all.
Senator Mr. Chairman, Olsen. Senator Corian, I appreciate your concern. I don't believe it will adversely affect projects. A project that's using over 100 million gallons of water is a big project, and I think for a project like that to look at a zero discharge system or recycling the water that they'll be using for, if it's processing food or cooling or producing ethanol or biodiesel or whatever, I don't think that looking at recycling as much water as possible is a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, and I think we need to seriously look at protecting our aquifers, especially this Mount Simon, because there's a lot of pressure on that aquifer, and so I don't see that businesses will have a big concern with this. It's another hoop they're going to have to look at, but the positive side is that we're doing a lot of, making efforts to protect this aquifer.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I think this is probably being made out to a little bit more than what it is. This bill passed out of committee unanimously on a voice vote. There was no opposing testimony to the bill. I guarantee you that if this was going to hurt industry and its permitting in any way, there would have been a lot of voices in opposition to it from industry. There was not. All Senator Olsen's bill does is it does not prohibit anything. All it does is say if a project uses drinking water to a certain level, 100 million gallons, that at that point you have to have some sort of plan so we know what's going on with it. That's all his bill does. And it's not even aimed at all water. It's only aimed at drinking water. And I think that's the policy aim, is to just so we start to get our arms around what we're doing with actual drinking water as it relates to industrial uses where we don't actually drink it. And honestly, I think Senator Rosen's point is fair, and it should not apply to just ethanol plants, for example. I think golf courses are a major user of water. We should not be using drinking water to water our golf courses. I think those are all fair assertions. But that's exactly what Senator Olsen's bill does. It's one small step in just saying once you reach a threshold, a very, very large threshold of using drinking water, let's start planning on what's going on with that so we know what's happening. So, and I appreciate Senator Olsen going to conference committee on it. I think that is important. We did have a good discussion on it, but all Senator Olsen's bill does is provide some additional planning. It doesn't prohibit any permitting.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, business will have a big problem with it, but they don't know how to have a problem with it today, because they don't understand when it talks about the feasibility or practical alternatives, because quite honestly, as everyone in this chamber should know, we have no alternatives in Minnesota. We have no rule framework. The PCA refuses to work with me on water recycle and reuse, something that I came to the Senate 8 years ago to try to bring to Minnesota. So without rules, how do you come up with an alternative? It can't be approved. There is no rules. Yes, the Pollution Control Agency will say, oh, we have broad authority. Well, how can they have broad authority to suffer something they know nothing about? Sure, we'll take a second look at alternatives, and thank you, Senator Olsen, for making clear that this was the anti-LS power bill, so that we understood that. But when we take a second look with no framework of what we're looking at, nothing can get approved. A business has no idea what they're looking at. So once again, members, as businesses come to Minnesota, they're required to try to make some permits for something that there is no rules about, there is no framework for. So why would they bother to come to Minnesota? Why would they waste potentially tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to design something on a whim that maybe the PCA might approve, maybe they might not, maybe they can get a permit for? Members, I'm just going to remind you that since I've been here 8 years, I've been telling people that we need to recycle water, that we should never be watering our lawns with drinking water, and we should never be dumping our wastewater into lakes, streams, and rivers. We should be recycling it and reusing it, and without that framework, this bill just doesn't make any sense, and it is anti-business, and it will hurt Minnesota.
Further discussion? Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I've lost my voice, so I'll try to do the best I can to simply say, this is sounding better these days, huh? Thank you. The amendment that we've set aside in order to pass this bill and go to conference committee is very important to me and to the constituents of my district. It's not an overburdensome amendment. It allows for water conservation planning and does not interfere with potential growth in the area of renewable energy. So without that amendment, without that reprisal that allows for, under certain circumstances, the use of more water, I would have difficulty supporting this bill. So I will not be voting for this bill. I will be able to support it in the long run if it has that amendment attached to it.
Further discussion? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the author yield?
He will yield. Senator Senjum.
Maybe a couple of questions, Senator Osteen. And first one, I'm a little confused, and Senator Sharon's comments about it affecting her area. Would this aquifer extend to her area? Or frankly, you know, in my area, we hear a lot about the Galena and the Jordan aquifers, but I've never heard of this aquifer in southeastern Minnesota. Do you know if this would apply to the general Mankato area, just out of curiosity?
Senator Olstein.
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, the Mount Simon-Hinckley, I should have maybe handed this out, and maybe I will do that before it comes back from conference committee, but it runs, part of it goes all the way up to Carlton and runs kind of southwest down to Worthington and Jackson. Oh, I see you have a copy of it. Thank you. So it's a big part of the southeastern third of Minnesota. And to address Senator Rosen's concerns earlier, I pulled up, there's about 264 permits issued for the Mount Simon, and the golf course is, I think, the biggest user I found was like 25 million gallons a year. So they're not even coming close to the uses of over 100 million gallons a year. So once again, I just think it's prudent for us to look at taking this water out of the ground that may have taken 100 or 1,000 years to get there, and I think we need to just kind of be cognizant that this is a valuable resource in the state of Minnesota.
Senator Sedgwick.
Mr. Chair, and again to the author, I'm sort of wondering, you know, if this is an important value for your area, and if it is, that's fine. But I'm kind of wondering why this couldn't be done, for instance, at a municipal, you know, at the municipal level, at least those that have water service, and I guess that's most cities in Minnesota, or at the county level. Typically, I think counties issue well permits. If this is the kind of restriction that you'd want in an area, could it not be done on a individual local jurisdiction application as opposed to statewide?
Senator Olstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Senjum, I think it's important that this is a statewide bill because it covers such a large area, and
basically, if you're sucking water out of it in Chisago County or in Blue Earth County, you're sucking water out of the same aquifer. And so there is ramifications of usage of it throughout, like I said, the southwestern third of the state, or southeastern, I'm sorry. There's approximately 264 Mount Simon Hinckley permits statewide, and of those, 112 are public water systems. Now, they would not be part of this bill because domestic water usage is exempt from this bill. This is going to look at more of the commercial usage of water, water used for cooling and that kind of usage. So I guess the answer to your question is I think it's appropriate that it be done at a state level versus at a county or a municipal level.
Senator Senjum.
And Mr. Chair, I would just say that where this is an important local issue, I think they ought to deal with it as a local issue. I don't think we need to apply it statewide or at least throughout the expanse of this aquifer. There are certainly other communities with other sets of values that may feel differently about that. And I would just urge the membership to think about, again, local control, local application of something like this if they want it. I think it works better that way.
Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, thank you. My only counter to that would be that, you don't want somebody to use an excessive amount of water and start pulling somebody else's water down, and they turn on their faucets and there's no water available. The Mount Simon is a huge aquifer. Like I said, we pull 25 billion gallons a year out of it. So I think it's prudent that we start looking at how we're using that water.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Olsen, I agree with you. We ought to be prudent in how we look at things. And, geez, for 8 years I've been trying to get some prudency passed here, and it doesn't seem to work very well. So without any rules, without any framework, we can't just start limiting things if we don't know what our alternatives are. And I still can remind members, I still do have a water recycle bill sitting here on the Senate floor. If some of these members could just get PCA to maybe open up their eyes and start working with some science instead of with their feelings, we might get something done. And I do, Mr. Chair, request a roll call vote on this.
Three hands. It'll be a roll call. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a few comments there. Senator Olsen, your map, thank you for the map. I was just sharing it with Senator Senjum, and it looks like it just stops right there on the Minnesota-Iowa border or the Minnesota-Wisconsin border, and we all know it just does not stop there. I want to just remind you, Senator Olsen, that there is a lot of development that's going on across the borders, and that's our biggest competition. And I actually serve in a Senate district that has over half the ethanol production gallons in the state. And they work very hard we work very hard in the state to get ethanol, renewable energy, the biofuels industry into the area in greater Minnesota, because that is our business. That's agriculture. That's energy. And so with a bill like this, that's just one more step, one more permit these companies have to go through to get their permit, the right to build in Minnesota. And frankly, these companies are very tired of doing this, and they are moving to Iowa. And that's why we never received the okay, the go, to have the first cellulosic ethanol plant that went 10 miles across the border from me in my Senate district down to Estherville, Iowa, or Emmitsburg, Iowa. And that was disheartening because they've already received over $100 million from the feds to develop this technology. And it could have been in Minnesota, but it was from a company, Poet, that absolutely refuses to build in Minnesota again because of all the permitting and the hoops and the rigmarole that we make these companies go through every single time they want to even think about coming to Minnesota. So let's look at more on a holistic approach. I mean, we just can't say, okay, we're going to take care of the water problem in this map and not think about what's going on in the other states. I appreciate your thoughtful approach to this. However, we are again sending a very raw, strong signal to anybody that wants to develop in Minnesota. No thanks, but if you want to come in, we're going to make it very tough on you.
Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and colleagues. The first the Mount Sinai Aquifer is the deepest aquifer. It is the most precious aquifer. It's the cleanest aquifer, and it's all connected. You can't draw water from one part of the aquifer and not affect the rest. So the breadth of his bill is appropriate. When we talk about the impact on business, colleagues, we have to understand that we have to plan for the long term. If we already have some data coming through that is showing us that we are stressing this aquifer. So businesses who already depend on this water will be out of business if we don't take some corrective actions. The third point I'd like to make is in the beginning of next session, we will have a water framework that addresses all the uses of our water and the interdependencies and the way the water works in our state. And so I think this is a good first beginning because we do need to start conserving now, and all the bill asks is that these folks who use water above 100, is it 100 million gallons? Have a plan, and we will have the data for that plan that they can begin the plan next January. So I urge you to support the bill. It is a good first step. It will not hurt business.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I just also want to speak in support of this bill. Members, remember that most Minnesotans get their drinking water from these underground aquifers, and they are diminishing. We've been lucky in Minnesota to sit on this gold mine of fresh water, but it's not endless or infinite. And we need to make sure that we protect the water for drinking water purposes. We need to help our industries find other ways to be cost-effective and efficient. Senator Rosen, we worked with Senator Rosen last year to provide grants so that her ethanol plant could use technology to reuse water in their process. There's lots of alternatives that industry can do to continue to be very cost-effective without having to always use our pristine drinking water, our pristine aquifer. Some of that water has been there for 20,000 years. And if we don't protect it now, we'll pay the price later, both in our quality of life and in our ability to have economic growth, because this water will not last forever. This is a common sense bill, and as I recall, there was no opposition to this bill in committees. It went through several hearings. Senator Olsen made changes to it, and members, I really don't even think it should be controversial. Please vote green.
Senator Jagbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, you, those of you that have your computers up right now, if you'd like to go to Google and Google the Purple Book, it is the California Title 22 Water Recycle Code. Members, my water recycle bill was brought with help from California. California likes to help people. They have been recycling and reusing water since 1973. They have perfected it. They've figured it out. I don't know why we don't want to move forward on that. If we're going to limit stuff, why can't we figure out how to replace it? California has figured it out. They've been doing it and implementing it since the 70s. It's not rocket science anymore. It's well-proven technology. They're refilling their aquifers. They're cleaning up the wastewater and actually making it into drinking water before it goes back through groundwater recharge systems. And I sure wish a few of your members would start looking at that, because we actually have connections in California that would love to come out here and work with us, and they actually came up with the language in a shortened version for Minnesota to get us started there. So anybody that thinks this bill is a good idea, they ought to all be in favor of passing my water recycle bill that's still sitting here on the floor. If we're not willing to pass that, I guess we're barking up the wrong tree, and we're just trying to limit something without giving somebody some options.
Further discussion. Senator Olsen renews his motion that when this committee do arise, House File 2634 be recommended to pass. Secretary, we'll take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Being 38 ayes and 21 nays, the motion prevails. The next bill on general orders, number 44 on general orders, House file number 3263, Senator Gimsey.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that House file 3263 be recommended to pass.
Senator Gimsey, describe the contents of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This was a bill we began to discuss yesterday. It was laid over, and what this bill does is establishes highway work zone speed limits at 40 miles per hour on all of our state highways, including those that are posted at 60 miles per hour. Just to refresh your memory, there were two amendments added yesterday. One was a roundabout design amendment that would allow MnDOT to set specifications and standards for suitable roundabout design. And also, Senator Carlson had a bill that would exempt Type 3 school buses from having to have child restraint seats in them.
Discussion, Senator Jungbauer.
Mr. President, having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the vote whereby my amendment to the House File 3263 was adopted April 6th, 2010, now be reconsidered.
Explain to the committee what you're doing with this reconsideration, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The communities have brought the concern about the design and the technical guidance on the roundabouts. I believe that MnDOT's January 2009 design manual actually deals with most of those concerns, and I'm assured by MnDOT that they're moving forward on other things, so I have the road design manual here. So I think most of those concerns from communities that brought that original bill to me were roundabouts built previous to that design criteria.
Discussion on the reconsideration. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Okay, now you should withdraw your amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move to withdraw my amendment.
It's not a motion, but the amendment is withdrawn. Further discussion on House File 3263.
Mr. President.
Oh, how are you, Senator Tomasoni?
I have an A51 amendment, Mr. President.
Secretary will report the Tomasoni A51 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend House File 3263 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate March 25th as follows. Page 2 after line 14, insert. This is amendment A51.
Senator Tomasoni on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I spoke with the author about this, and I think he authored a similar bill. This allows us to have a special retired firefighter's plate. The issue in law is that there is a firefighter's plate, but once the firefighter retires, the plate has to be removed from the firefighter's car. So this allows them to then apply for a retired firefighter's plate, and it puts in law some requirements in order for them to actually be able to get this plate. So I think this is non-controversial. It passed out of transportation without any problem, and I appreciate your support.
I don't know if it's up on the computer yet. Is there any discussion on the amendment before it comes up? He did explain it. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Senator Tomasoni is correct. This did go through the Transportation Committee, and we all liked his bill and passed it along. Mr. Chairman and members, there is going to be a transportation omnibus bill that's left over from last year that's going to be coming probably in a week or two. And it's germane to everything transportation, I can guarantee you that. And if you want to offer up your amendments then, I think that'd probably be a more appropriate place. Senator Gimsey already has a bill that we need to get passed. We don't need to load it up, because as the chair of the committee, I will re-refer it to transportation, and Senator Gimsey loses bill. And nobody wants that to happen. But, offer up the amendments if you want. Like I said, this one came through committee. The committee can do what they want, but we do have an omnibus bill coming. So,
all right, the amendment is up. I think we all know what it does. It's the A51 amendment. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Further discussion on House File 3263. Senator Vanderveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A52 amendment.
Secretary will report the Vanderveer A52 amendment.
Senator Vanderveer moves to amend House File 3263 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 as follows. Page 1, after line 5, insert. This is amendment A52.
Senator Vanderveer.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is was a bill that went to the Transportation Committee, too, and in the time that followed, the department came up with a solution. It deals with vertical license plates on motorcycles, and I don't know how familiar you are with that issue, but apparently they're quite costly and were... actually outlawed, I think, 2 years ago. And I have a support for this from Abate, and the language came from the department. So as far as it's their language on how the license plate is to be presented and how it's to be installed on the bike, but it does make them legal again so people can use it. So I would appreciate your support.
We're on the Vanderveer A52 amendment. For this discussion, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll ask Senator Murphy maybe to help out here. Senator Murphy, this is the vertical license plate issue, and I seem to recall that Department of Public Safety had some concerns about this in committee and the ability to read these plates very effectively, and there was some concern in committee about that. So I don't know that this was actually received all that fair. I know the motorcyclists like it, and a particular motorcyclist was upset because he was cited after having installed one of these outside of the provisions in law, but. You know, these are such that, you know, they're red top to bottom, not, you know, left to right. And so the ability to identify the motorcycle is somewhat compromised by public safety officials, if I recall from committee testimony.
Did you have a comment on Senator Dibble?
I could, Mr. President. Senator Dibble, you're absolutely right, except this language came from public safety. And this is their suggested solution to the issue.
Any further discussion on the Vanderveer A52 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Gimsey renews his motion that when this committee to arise, House File 3263 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders, number 11 on general orders, Senate file number 2653, Senate author, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when this committee do arise, Senate file 2653 be recommended to pass.
Senator Murphy on the bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, this deals with some driver requirements for Type 3 motor vehicles that that our schools use to move the wrestling team around and the debate team. It's the smaller vehicles. They're called Type 3. It talks about what the driver's responsibilities are. It also has some requirements in there on pre-employment alcohol testing. And Mr. Chairman and members, there's also some language in there about what a physical qualification is. Some of this language is technical. Most of it is to help clean up the Type 3 standards. And this bill went through all the appropriate committees. All the language has been worked out with not only the department, but school bus operators, school districts. Just about everybody that was involved has checked off on this.
Further discussion on Senate File 2653. Seeing none, Senator Murphy renews his motion. And then when this committee do arise, Senate File 2653 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The fourth and the last bill on general orders, number 58 on general orders, Senate File number 364, Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate file number 364 be recommended to pass.
Discussion on the bill, Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate file 364 is about consensus recommendations of the stakeholder drainage work group. That group is made up of drainage authorities, farm groups, environmental groups, state agencies, and the legislature, which has been facilitated by the Board of Water and Soil Resources since 2006. The bill would accomplish several objectives in relation to updating Minnesota drainage law contained in Chapter 103E. This is a carryover bill from last year. It was heard in the Environment and Natural Resources Policy Division, Ag and Vets Division, and this year, due to our budget problems here at the state legislature, the funding recommendation for the drainage records modernization was removed in the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division. I would ask for member support.
Further discussion on Senate File 364. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator Sparks renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 364 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President, is there any work at the desk? Then I would hold for announcements.
Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Betzelt.
Mr. President, the state and local state government budget division, which was scheduled to meet this morning, had to be postponed because of the finance committee meeting. It will meet 1/2 hour after the session ends, so that should be about 12:45 for the state government budget division.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. If other committee announcements are concluded, I just wanted to let members know that we are having a socks box, a collection of socks and undergarments for homeless youth in a number of our offices, and a number of us have boxes in our offices, and we would invite you to buy new socks or new undergarments for homeless youth age 16 to 23 and bring them by and drop them in a box. We'll have these boxes in our office until April 23rd. So you can drop by Senator Tomasoni, Senator Pogamiller, Senator Higgins, Senator Torres-Ray, Senator Laurie. I think Senator Rosen is going to have a box and a few others. So please donate go to the store and buy some socks and other stuff that young people need and bring them by. It'll be very, very much appreciated. This is a drive being sponsored by Youth Moving Forward and about, looks like, two dozen different organizations and agencies are a part of this. So your help is very much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Say another announcement. Take a look at the Senate General Orders. If you have any bills on here that are dead or that are included in some other bills moving, maybe you can let the desk know and we'll get them off the list. Without objection, Senator Moi, Phoebe, and Michelle, be excused all day. Senator Saltzman from 11:30 to the end. Senator Berglund, 11:20 to the end. Gerlach, 11:20. Anderson from 11:25. Dill, 11:50 to the end. And Saxog from 12 o'clock to the end. Senator Pogemiller, any further announcements?
Mr. Pogemiller. Mr. President, just for planning purposes, Senator Senjum, the Finance Committee is processing these various policy bills for the various divisions, because none of that was in the finance bill. The hope would be is that and the new another tax bill with just small items in it would all be processed by next week, so we would try to take those bills up on the floor either next week if they're here, or the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday the following week. So the idea would be to pretty much clear everything out of here before we break for the two conventions. Well, we're not breaking a week, but we're... So then tomorrow is just... we just need a quorum to process some paper. So, Mr. President, I would move the Senate adjourn till Thursday, April 8th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.